Awesome. Thank you for being here this morning. God is good all the time. Oh, some of you don't know that. Come on, God is good and all the time. Let's do it one more time. God is good and all the time. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Will you guys welcome Lori?
Hi. Okay. So going deep with the Lord in the Holy Spirit is really, really a precious thing. And I just wanted to share, the Lord reminded me about a time in about 1997, I think, 98. Rowena and I went on our very first mission trip to Mexico in Tijuana. And after we prayed with the church to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we were just worshiping with a small group, which included the people that had just gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we were just sitting on the floor, and one of them said, "How deep is too deep with the Holy Spirit?" And we said, "There is no end." And I remember it just now came to me as well in China. I prayed with our gathering, a GLOW group gathering that gathered at my apartment, and prayed with them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit there. And the next week they came back, and one of the translators said, "My mom wants to know, is she supposed to pray in tongues all the time, every day?" Because she was. It was great. So there's never too much.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 3, oh, I can't see that number. Sorry. 16 and 17. The word asks us, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." And then again, he tells us in 6, verse 6 of 1 Corinthians, the same thing. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" Like, wow. God. That one, that holy one, he gave it to us. Hallelujah. "For you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lori. Hey, if you have a Bible this morning, open up to 1 Peter chapter 2 and hold that spot, because I'm going to land there here in a few moments before I transition. So welcome to Echo Hills. Over 3 years ago, you would have been gathering on a Sunday morning, and we would have known this place as Valley Christian Center, a house that had stewarded the love of God, the fellowship of God faithfully under many pastors, but for a long time under Pastor Mike. And many of you are here, and many of you know that to be true. If you were gathering here over three years ago on a Sunday evening, you were gathering as Hope Chapel. The church that I had been pastoring for about 15 years and had moved up here. Many of you know our story. Some of you who don't know our story, we'd love to share it. And you might be sitting next to someone that could share it. We gave you some questions just to think about in light of today being our third anniversary. Now, I know many of you who are married would never say to your spouse, "Oh, it's just our third anniversary. We're not going to acknowledge it," right? Of course not. However, we also recognize that, the third anniversary, we're a church, we do this every Sunday, we gather, we celebrate, but there's something about also honoring what God has been doing and building memorials to him. So today, there's no big balloon arch, there's no big meal, there's, no dunk Pastor Mike in the dunk tank type of thing. Is there? Maybe? No, oh, darn it. Maybe we'll save that for our four-year anniversary. No. But we are here to celebrate our third, and in doing so, we're just going to lay a little bit of vision out for you. And none of these words that I'm going to share, that Josh is going to share, that Jennifer's going to share, or Mike are going to share, are going to be new to you. But this is what I want to do, and this is where my role is this morning as far as setting us up. There is something called a lifestyle. There's an attribute of doing things routinely that they begin to dictate and form and shape who you are. And when you lay that out in your life, we can say there's a lifestyle. Now listen, when I was in high school, I was a runner. And when I was in college, I loved running. And I competed, and I was highly competitive. And I wasn't too bad going to state and competing and winning. But then all of a sudden, marriage happened. And kids happened. And eating way more than I could keep up with my running routine happened. And I discovered that I actually didn't like running anymore. I didn't like the physical nature of running. It became wearisome to me. It became work to me. The love for it in an action just dissipated. But what I still loved was the thought of what the benefits of running did for me. It kept me trim. It kept me with a metabolism that was able to keep up with an eating habit that had outgrown my own stomach. It kept me in a place where I felt like I was toned and I felt good about myself. But see, all I had was a thought of love towards it. I had no desire to engage it. And so all of a sudden, the weight started to show up. And the laziness started to kick in. And I lived with a lifestyle that wasn't living up to the life that I wanted. I had this picture of life, like the body. Now, obviously, I never found weights because I've never put on any real muscle for weights, and maybe that's your thing. And, you know, I'm not really good at, like, the artistic stuff, so I haven't pursued art and definitely have no musical ability. And so those aren't life desires, but to be fit and to feel good is a life desire of mine, but it requires a lifestyle, right? And what I don't want is the lifestyle. Like, I don't want the days running on the road. I don't want the discipline in choosing what I eat and what I don't eat. I don't want, you know, the early workouts. I don't want the maintenance. I don't want the lifestyle, but I live in a thought that I could somehow still hang on to the life in my mind, right? And this is where the breakdown is in our spiritual formation. This is the breakdown that God is constantly addressing as he's raising us up. And you and I are in a process. We are in a formation that we've invited the Holy Spirit to be a part of. And some of us are living with a life in mind, but we're not making the choices to have the lifestyle that will actually bring the true life. See, now this goes both ways. Some of us are making bad choices that are resulting in a lifestyle that bring a type of life that is actually detrimental or anti-Christ. It stands against the nature of Christ and who he's called us to be. It stands against the likeness of Christ being developed in us because we actually have built more walls than we have roadways. And so when we stop and we start to consider what's it going to take for Echo Hills to continue on, we have to stop and just ask ourselves, Lord, what is the formation? What is the spiritual process? What is the transformative nature of your power trying to address in our life collectively so that we become the body of Christ on earth as it is in heaven? And there are words we use. There are terms we use. There are phrases. There are values. And one of the values that we have around here is family. And what's it mean to be family? And here's the thing. Some of us have a lifestyle, therefore resulting in a life where family is not a good word. Family is a trigger word for the trauma, the hurt, the heartache. Some of you don't have fathers that you could appreciate or mothers that you honor. Some of us have come out of families that are outright horrific, and yet you've overcome. You've endured. You've persevered. You've encountered the loving, healing power of Jesus Christ to bring reconciliation. Maybe not relationally with a father or an absent mother, but with God enough to know that, Lord, they did the best they could. And now I surrender to you and I trust you. But in that formation, in that spiritual process, what we're asking us to consider, what God's asking us to consider in the nature of family is this simple phrase, for the sake of others. When you think of family, what do you think of? When you dissect family in the kingdom, what starts to surface? How does God view family is the question that we're asking you to consider on this anniversary. Because this is a benchmark for a destination and a place that we believe the Holy Spirit is taking us. See, our spiritual formation 3 years ago involved two churches willing to surrender identity and come together under a new identity, under a new banner. And unfortunately, many of us know people that did not and have not stuck around long enough to allow that formation to take place. Because how many of you know it doesn't change in a day? How many of you know that if I started running tomorrow, I wouldn't be 10 pounds slimmer next week? Most unlikely. And I won't be starting to run tomorrow because I really hate it. But I love it in my mind. See, some people just didn't know how to embrace the formation. You might even be sitting here today with still a little bit of a hook in your heart that goes, I don't really know where I'm going. Where's my place? What are we doing? And the beautiful thing is that I've got answers. I've got answers out of the Word that aren't necessarily just Hope Chapel or Valley Christian Center or even now Echo Hills. They're Jesus. They're Jesus's assignments and purposes. And so as I prepare you to transition, I want you to look at this verse with me in 1 Peter chapter 2, and many of you will recognize it. And many of you will recognize that our formation as a church has been greatly challenged, not just by the accusation of our enemy, not just by the absence of some people that didn't know how to stick around or didn't feel connected to where we were going, not because death has taken people, not just because culture itself is now fighting and an antagonist against the Christian faith. There are things about our physical, spiritual, emotional, and relational formation, especially in the context of family, that start in the Word with knowing who we are in Him. And when we know who we are in Him, we can then begin to seek it out and bring others along with us according to the Spirit. And the verse that I want you to see this morning when it comes to your identity and to our formation as Echo Hills. Notice I didn't mention COVID as one of the oppositions. Did you notice? Because it certainly has been. And one of the things I deemed, and I know many of you heard me preach on this earlier in the spring, I've decided to refuse to let COVID be a justification. It had its issues. We're still dealing with it, wherever you sit, wherever you land. But I really began to walk away, and I know Pastor Mike and Josh and Jennifer and I are on the same page in that COVID revealed so much of what is actually in us and the formation of what we've been doing for the last few decades that some of it I could be so grateful and praise God for, but others of it has caused us to reevaluate what we call preaching, what we call discipleship, what we call the family of God. And so with this, would you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Can I get a yes and amen? Echo Hills Church is not an eternal banner that one day we will gather under in heaven. For there's only one banner, and it is love. But until then, we will find our likeness and our tribe and our people and our collective community gathering around certain attributes. But it all begins with knowing that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's special possession. That's not who you always were, but it's who you are now. And so in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the beauty of Echo Hills. I thank you for where we've been, where we are, and where we're going, Lord. And Father, I pray that as we navigate and allow you to continually form us into your image, Christ, that we would see your attributes, your likeness, and your glory transform us and transform our cities in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you welcome Josh Pilon? I was going to say Pelletier. Josh Pilon this morning.
Thank you.
Amen.
Before I start talking and sort of lose my analytical mind, I just want to share this with you. So I'm going to share a few things that I've been just reading from a book. And her name is Jeannie Allen. For those of you who are taking notes, Jeannie Allen wrote a book called Find My Tribe. And it's really impacted me quite a bit and will heavily influence what I'm going to share this morning. So, you my people. Just in case I'm not clear at any moment during this little time to share with you, but I love where Jeff took us as far as spiritual formation. And I'd like to just add a couple additional thoughts to that. I think it's really easy for us as Americans for us to look at a goal and to try to accomplish a goal at the beginning of a new year, to make a New Year's resolution that you're going to do something different. We have a very Greek mindset as far as we've bullet points, structure. It's really, really good. However, we've lost this idea of what family actually looks like. And let me just share on that for a second. So we live in a very unique period of time. The last couple hundred years have been sort of a science project, really, because we are living in the United States in a way that the rest of the world hasn't lived up until the last couple hundred years. And the West, the Western culture, is really, we're living in a way that doesn't, we don't need people. And so what ends up happening is our worldview of family, of friendship, of our faith, all of those sorts of things, we begin to look through a lens that even the Bible wasn't written to. Does that make sense? So when we sit and we begin to read the word, we're even beginning to process it with the lens that we have in this really interesting time period. So I have to share this with you. Since the Industrial Revolution, right, when manufacturing and goods and all of these sorts of things started to be mass produced, and you could just, if you needed something, you could just go and you could buy it, right? It's a wonderful thing. However, historically speaking, this is a weird thing that we live in. This is a very strange period that we live in. In fact, even today, 80% approximately of the world's population has what maybe we could call a village mentality or a village mindset. That means that it's absolutely necessary for people to lean on one another to survive, to have their relationships, to be valued, to find their place, for you to understand who you are. Because so much of that happens in our own families, right? By being part of our family, our own families that we have inside our homes, behind locked doors, or maybe unlocked doors if you're a little comfy. As we are part of that family, there's an identity that comes from that. So this experience of doing life together as family and going through our whole being formed into the likeness of Jesus absolutely requires family in a new way. In a new way. In a new way. What does that mean for us? That means, okay, so if we are in a little time period that's very different from any throughout history and different than 80% of the world's population today, what do we have to fight for? We have to fight for family. We have to fight for something else, because I'm going to reveal to you just for a second, and forgive me if you feel like I'm pulling the rug out from underneath you. I love, so I'm gonna first bless what I love. I love that to be in relationship with people that know how to get into the Word and to pray and have a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because it has an impact on me. However, comma, as awesome as that is not a picture of maturity in Christ. That is called being an island. If you know how to get into the Word, praise God. If you worship and get messy and snot bubbly and have an encounter with Jesus, like we saw over in this general area last week, praise God, that's awesome. That is not the picture of maturity in Christ. That's part of it. We have to do this thing together in family. Being an island unto ourselves where we can lock our doors and experience life with our small, tiny, little family groups isn't going to cut it. It's not real. You were created for so much more than that. And it requires a stepping into, leaning into, fighting for relationships and vulnerability and telling people the ugly stuff, the stuff we're afraid to tell them. What would they think of me if they, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't, if they only knew. Where's your place in family? Where's your faith in the context of family? I love this. This is interesting to me. It's based on a study. Again, you can check these things out in the book that I shared with you at the beginning. But there's some studies that have shown that people are able to keep about 150 connections. They're able to handle about 150 connections. Not everybody, but that's a good average. And of that 150 connections, 15 can be your village. 15 are the ones, you guys, that when the poop emoji hits the fan, those are the ones that will fight for you, that will be in your foxhole with you, that will hear what you have to say, that will support you, that will walk with you in every season of your life. And then there's five. There's five deep friends that most people can facilitate having relationship with. These are the ones, Jesus we saw with the 12, but then we saw him with the 3. And yet there was a different encounter in that place. And most people can facilitate about 5. How many of you have 5 connections in your life that you can lean on, that you know, I can share the stuff I'm absolutely ashamed of, and it won't impact your perspective of who you think I am, that is willing to go with me to places that may make you very uncomfortable, who's willing to celebrate your victories, your breakthroughs? So formation in Christ, yeah, yes. We are all in a process, whether we choose to acknowledge it or not. You're either going this way or you're going this way, right? But in the context of family, we have got to. And this is so awesome. Tonight, I think, is the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, right? Is that right? I got some nods. So begin at the head of the year, head of the Jewish New Year. This is the beginning of the year. This is a great opportunity to start something different. 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 Why don't you stand to your feet real quick? Here's my commitment to you. I will not be silent about this. I have people that look at that are friends with me that are like, hey, this is awesome, and they know that I need work on this. They know I need work on this. So I'm not telling you this is polished. This is me just being raw with you This is me being raw with you, that I need you, that you need each other, that for this thing to make sense, we have to do it together. And it requires bravery and boldness and vulnerability. And you have to be willing to fight. Because our culture isn't going to help us out. You're still going to be able to go shopping today and buy the items you need from the store. It's not going to slow down. So that means something has to change here. Why don't you put your hand on your chest, over your heart? Oh, Jesus, we just thank you for family. We thank you for the joy of discovering who we are in you, in the context of family. Holy Spirit, we invite you to wreck us this year. May this be a year where you begin to put your finger on all of the places you want to touch. The picture I get as I'm praying this is, I just see light starting to pour out of you. I just see it in places that you didn't even know. And I just feel like the Lord is actually pulling that out in you. You have something good to offer. You have something good to offer. There is goodness and kindness and mercy in you. There is glory in you. There is the King of Kings who lives in you. Be not afraid. 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 The glory of the Lord is already within you. Just let him out. Just let him out. So, Father, we thank you. We just begin to bless family. Father, I just thank you right now that as you lead us in this, that you would speak to us clearly, that we would know you with one another. Come on, redefine Jesus for us, the one another's. Impact us again with one another. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Jen, you ready? Okay. I'm so glad I didn't have to go after Jen.
Oh, that is so funny because I was like, oh, Josh pretty much said what I was going to say. So I was like, I just say yes and amen. And so that was incredible, Josh. So proud of you. That was incredible. It was so good. Such a great word. Thank you for coming. I'm just really glad that each of you are here. So thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you, because I know sometimes a lot of things work against us to come. And so I am so glad, each one of you, as I look around and see your faces, thank you for coming. Just thank you for being here. Thank you. Thank you for being here. I am really grateful. You're just so beautiful. And I look around and I just look at each and I can just see the wealth. And it's just, it's different than monetary wealth. I just see wealth of just insight, wisdom, such incredible wisdom. And you look around like, oh, just incredible faith. You carry such faith, such knowledge. And I look at some of you and you're just like, you have so much love. Just so much love. Like if someone got around you, they would feel so loved, so well. And others, I just see so much joy. You carry so much joy. And I look around and excitement and passion. Carry excitement and just passion. And I just look around and just, as family, just what incredible wealth we have here, but when we come together. I heard someone share this, that sometimes we go through things that are too big for us individually, too much individually, never too big for family. It's never too big for family. And so I felt this morning, I just wanted to apologize if you ever had to feel like you had to show up on a Sunday morning with a pretense that everything was okay. Like you just felt like Sunday after Sunday, you just came, and when someone greeted you, the natural response was, oh, I'm great. How was your week? Oh, great, you know? And you never really felt the space just to really be open and vulnerable and honest, like, you know what, I'm not really doing very good. And having someone look at you, but it's different when they look at you and they're really concerned. Whereas they look at you and just think, okay, we need to move right along. And I am sorry. I'm sorry if you've ever felt that at church. And I'm sorry if I've done that. That would be, I am just sorry. Because I always want, when we come here, it to be the place where you feel the most loved and the most accepted, not the loneliest place that you could be of the week. And I think sometimes that happens when we come. Sometimes we sit and 2 hours later, like, I feel just as lonely as when I came. And for that, I'm really sorry. So, Lord, we are stepping into something new. We're stepping into a new season. And, Lord, I just pray over each doorway, Lord, that there is such a feeling, a movement, such a shift of, we are so glad you're here. We're so glad you're here. Lord, that each person can feel vulnerable and open and deep connection and vulnerability. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm kind of the declaration. I've been doing these declarations, I think, for the last couple of weeks. And last week, we decided that our assignment is that we're going to go after family. And our assignment is to see, okay, Lord, as you're calling us together, you in the declaration this time, number two, is actually, you're right on time. So why don't you just say that over yourself, I'm right on time. I'm right on time. So say it again over yourself. I'm right on time. The Lord uses every situation in your life, all the good, all the bad, all the ugly, to get you to where you're at this very moment. And this is what I know. Age has no barrier, restriction, limitation on this, no matter what your age is. No matter the mistakes you've made, bad choices you've made, what things you've been through, the Lord... I just heard a message on this, and it was so powerful. In order for there to be beauty, the Lord first had to have the ashes. So even in all that, even if you just feel like you have ashes, Lord, I just thank you that you're gathering them, and he's going to make something beautiful out of it, and you're right on time. That means that when you look around, you look at other people, that you're like, okay, this is my family. Like, I really want us to look around. Go ahead, because sometimes we stare at people's backs. Go ahead, just look around. Like, wow, like, these people are my family. Like, these are my family. Though, so Bobby's way in the back there. Like, these are my family. Like, you look at them, and that's why I said, like, they have something in them, such wealth, that you get a, and it's interesting because Josh was talking about leaning on each other. During worship, it was like I was getting static shocks. You know, when you're rubbing your feet, and like you, I don't know if you ever did that as a kid, but you could shock each other. And the Lord's like, hey, Jennifer, there's so much static electricity in this room. And I'm like, so, and he goes, Jennifer, just lean up against me. And I don't know what that really looked like or what it meant, but I'm like, okay, so I don't know. So I was trying to do what I thought I should be doing, you know, and it was like, seriously, like, I was getting, like, these electric shocks over my body. I'm like, when we actually choose, like, I say yes to you, and you say yes to me, and I let you in, and then I get to lean on you, and I get to draw, we get to draw from each other all that wisdom, that faith, that joy, that love, that acceptance, and then that's just a beautiful part of connection. I looked up what this generation of the young ones, up until 24, what they're actually naming them. And I thought, because, Lord, you're doing something, because we're not that generation. We're not that age group. But there's something we're marked by each one. And why the Lord was saying, we got to connect. You guys have to learn to connect. You have to be vulnerable. You have to connect. You're made for deep connection. You have to learn how to do family. Like, the father, we have a father, the kingdom's family. This generation, up to 24, they're called the Z generation, but what they're also naming them is I-Gen, as in the lowercase I, G-E-N, I-Gen, as in iPhone, iPad, all those, because they do not know life without technology. They are the I generation. And I started sitting with the Lord. I'm like, oh, Lord, yes, yes. Because more than anything, this generation wants your eye. Will you look at them in eye to eye and give them complete your eye focus? Will you look at to them and say, you're worth my time and I am interested in you? You're worth it. This is the I generation. Not only that, I believe this is the Jacob generation, well, that will seek the face of the Lord. But they're not going to do this without us. We're all connected. It's the synergy of the ages. They need us as much as they need, wait, they need us as much as we need them. I'm sorry, I was losing track. We're all connected. And so as we learn to look at each other in the eye and say, I see you, I see you, I see you. And as we learn to do that with one another, when someone comes in, it's like, oh yes, I see you, I see you. So Lord, I just thank you for the journey that we're all on. I just thank you, Lord, that we choose family. I thank you, Lord, that we will choose to be uncomfortable because there's something so far greater, something so far greater than any uncomfortableness. So Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for Echo Hills. I thank you for Echo Hills for choosing family. I say over Echo Hills, you're right on time. Echo Hills, you are right on time. Everyone that is present, you are right on time. I say this building is right on time. Every room, you are right on time. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Anybody like the fair? Anybody like going to the fair? Who likes going to the fair? I'm not a big fan. Gone a few years. It's the same food every time. It's either deep fried or something else. I'm not sure what some of that food is. My wife and I went yesterday for one sole purpose. Only one reason why we went to the fair yesterday.
Funnel cake.
No funnel cake. No huckleberry ice cream. Wait, oh yeah, Jeff is the slim run guy. I'm the funnel cake ice cream. Yeah, okay, thank you. I guess what's going on here. It's okay. I'm not bitter. I'm just hurt. So the only reason we went yesterday is because our kids said, would you like to go see your grandkids go to the petting zoo? Only reason we went is to watch our grandkids pet the same animals that were there last year. And the smells were exactly the same as well. I've been pastoring for a while, and I've asked people from every age level, every demographic, doesn't matter what race you are, doesn't matter how old or young you are, I've asked this one question, and the number one answer 95% of the time when I ask this question, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? You know what the number one answer is? Busy. And I've asked people who are retired, how can in the world can you be busy? You don't have to go to a job. You get to make your own schedule, and you are still busy. I've seen young families who are running their kids from sporting events to karate to choir to all, and they're busy, busy. It's busy. It's busy. And we've almost made it like if you are not busy, there's something wrong with you. You're lazy. You're not productive. You're not accomplishing anything. I've heard it said, if you want to get something done, find a busy person. And we've almost elevated busyness to this place of scripture. We've almost made busyness the canon of that's what life is about. It's to be busy. But what I've discovered is that if I am busy, I don't get the invite. That when, do you want to spend time with this person? I'm busy. I've had people say to me, I would love to talk to you about something, but I know that you're busy. And it's like, why do you think we're here? It's you. And let me ask you, I want you to look this week, how many times you either think or say to someone, man, I'm busy. And pay attention to it. Why? Because to do family, you got to have space. It takes time to do family. And it takes time to really be able to be present. Because you can be in a place, but with a busy heart, not really be there. Jennifer, a couple weeks ago, she talked about out of Nehemiah and how Israel could not for 100 years rebuild the wall, and he did it in 52 days. And if you remember, the question was, how did they do that? How were they to accomplish something in 52 days that they couldn't do for over 100 years? And she, it was like the bam on the screen, and the answer was family. And I began to write notes to my, it's nothing new, nothing I've not thought of or heard of before, but it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I began writing things down about family, and I began to write things like this: if church is not viewed as family, then I'm easy in, easy out. If church, like my family is wonderfully dysfunctional. My brothers, my mom, my in-laws, they are wonderfully dysfunctional. Do you have wonderfully dysfunctional family? Don't you? Come on, let's be honest. There's none perfect, no, not one, right? But in the dysfunction, you don't abandon them in their dysfunction. Why? Because they're your family. And family, like our marriage vows, better or worse, richer or poorer, sickness and health, those were not multiple choice. So when you're in family, you don't ignore the dysfunction. You don't say, hey, we're perfect. You realize the dysfunction is there. But here's the reality of it. Because you're my family, I am willing to step in and do what I can to be part of solutions. And the first solution is this: will we love each other even in our dysfunction? And I've realized that if church is not viewed as family, then we can become very critical of the church. We can become very critical of what it does and doesn't provide for me, what it offers and what it doesn't offer for me. What are you going to give to me to make my life better? And if you can't do that, I'm going to another family. Well, just put this out. Deb, you're not doing everything I want, so I'm looking for another wife. How do you think that would work? Funeral will be next Saturday at 12 p.m. My wife said, you wouldn't have to be restored. You'd be dead. Amen. When your kids act up, and as they get older, they start having opinions other than yours, what do you do with them at that time? Get out. I'm not your dad or mom. Get out. I don't want you in my family. You don't agree with me 100%. Now you're out. Or do you say, I will stay with you even in the hurt, anger, misunderstanding, confusion. I'm your dad. I'm your mom. And you're my family. And if it takes a year or two or three to work this thing out, we are right here. And we're not going anywhere. You're my family. When my kids started playing sports, especially my son, and he said, Dad, I need $500 to play baseball. And I said, sorry, raise it yourself. Good luck. Hope it works out for you. My wife and I did more fundraisers. We worked cooking more burgers so that our son could play baseball. Why? Because we're family. And for me to think I would not provide for my family, that would be abusive. And when we look at Echo Hills, guys, where we're going, what's our vision? Is to create a family that says, better or worse, richer or poorer, sickness and health, we're family. And I can look and see, boy, there's so much need here. And instead of pointing out and say, why aren't you doing a better job? I would say, Father, what do you want me to do for my family? And now I'm all in. And that means there's times where we don't agree. That's okay. We're family. We'll work it out. Let's do it. Let's talk. Let's get together and hash out what does Jesus say about it. And our culture doesn't live that way. And can I be really, really honest with you? I've been a pastor for a long time, like Jeff. Most Christians don't live that way. Something gets their panties in a wad. And instead of going, hey, can we talk through this? I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. Can we work this through? Why? Because you're my family. And my commitment isn't pie crust, easily made, easily broken. It's a commitment that says, thick or thin, we're going to work this out. Our society needs to know what family really is. And I get it, we all come from dysfunction. That's what Adam and Eve, congratulations, they started the whole kit and caboodle. But we don't have to live there. And it all begins with, I love you. And it's not an emotion, it's a choice. I love you. And when I'm not doing well, and when you're not doing well, hey, we're going to love each other through that. And give it time and space for Holy Spirit to work in an environment where love is the core value based on what Jesus said from his word. So I see it in my mind. I've never seen it in my ministerial experience, what I see in my mind. I've been part of a church that went from 600 to about 3,000 to 5,000 in about 10 years. It was amazing. But you know what? What the hardest thing was, how do you build family? And I believe Echo Hills, God is putting us at the point of the spear saying, I want you to spearhead something that looks so different than what normal church looks like. I want you to commit to family. So my grandkids, though I'm a bit older than my grandkids goes, I want to go to Papa and Nanny's house. It doesn't matter how young or old we are. It means if we love each other, people want to be around us. From all ages. If there's love there, people don't care if you got hair or a lot like Jeff, which I'm still bitter about. I want to get a toupee one day, I think, just for the glory of God. If we love each other as Christ loved us, we'll build family. So, worship team. Jeff, come on up. Worship team. We're going to sing a song called The Blessing. Because the blessing is what creates family. It's not just our effort. It's Holy Spirit working with us and through us to build what his heart is. He goes, call me Papa. Call me Abba. Call me Dad. Call me Father. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, when his mom and his brothers were there to say, hey, we're here to see Jesus, and Jesus was teaching, and Jesus said, who are my mother? Who's my mother? Who's my brothers? Who's my sisters? Those who do the will of God, that's my family.
So good.
So let's do the will of God by creating family. And in that, we're living the life of Jesus who says, those who do the will of God, that's my folks. Those are my kids. Those are my brothers. And would you stand as we sing the blessing? And would you just agree as we sing? Jeff, whatever you need to say.
Amen. Can we honor the Lord and just say thank you through a clapping of hands? Thank you for being here with us this morning. As we sing, one of the beautiful expressions, and we'll start to develop this in the coming weeks and as we transition into the new year, there's something about celebrating God together as family. There's something about standing next to someone that you don't know really well, but you hear them sing, and you can join with them. There's something about recognizing that when we show up, we have something to bring, not just unto the Lord, but unto one another. There's something about family that it's not just for the here and now, but it's for the generations to come, right? So when we're singing this morning, I want you to celebrate. If you came out of Valley Christian Center, God bless you. If you came out of Hope Chapel, God bless you. If you came from another fellowship, in the family of God, there aren't camps of Nazarenes and Pentecostals or Assemblies of God. And even though I think we're up closer because we start with an A, Assembly of God, you know. But all those banners disappear in the beauty of the Lord. But there is something about knowing who your people are. And here at Echo Hills, we're looking around at our people. We're looking around realizing there are some people that just aren't here this morning. And you should be asking, where are they? Some of them are on vacation. Some of them had other plans. Jennifer did an incredible job of just saying thank you. And I just want to add to it, think of them. Because as family, what we would recognize is, you know what? I miss so-and-so. I miss standing next to them in worship. I miss declaring with them. I miss their laugh. I miss their questions. I want to know where my family's at. And what we're going to do and what we're going to encourage you to do and what we're going to grow into as we pursue this is to recognize that you have the responsibility to stop and say, you know what? I haven't seen them in a few weeks. Where are they? I'm going after them. Because we do that. Every Monday we stop and celebrate the beauty of what God's doing. But then we stop and also go, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while. Let's send them a postcard. Let's hunt them down. Let's pray and call them out. And some are just busy. And there's oppositions and things that get in the way of trying to be here. But as we declare this song and see this song, I want you to recognize the beauty of not just the family in this moment, but the family that's being built in the name of Jesus. Amen.